It's a strange shift, isn't it? The parent who raised you needs some help, and you want to be there. With Care.com, you don't have to do it alone. Whether you're clear on the kind of care your aging loved one needs or still figuring it out, we've got support. Find background-checked in-home senior caregivers for anything from companionship to dementia care. Or browse senior living communities, read reviews, even schedule a tour. Plus, access to safety checks to help with your peace of mind. Still not sure what's best? Our senior care advisors, who are all master's-level social workers, can help you build a plan. For a limited time, use the code LISTEN20 for 20% off your initial Care.com subscription. That's LISTEN20, all one word, good for 20% off. Start your senior care journey with confidence.
Are you a Smashburger King? Creating those crispy edges and the intense beefy flavor that puts fast food to shame? Thanks to Omaha Steaks, I never have to worry about whether I have high-quality proteins on hand. And they have so many options, handcrafted steaks, convenient comfort meals, and it's always excellent. Celebrate President's Day with the exceptional handcrafted flavor and convenience of Omaha Steaks. Get 50% off the world's best everyday protein. Go to omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their President's Day sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code YUM at checkout. That's 50% off at omahasteaks.com and an extra $35 off with promo code YUM at checkout. Go to https://omahasteaks.com to get 50% off site-wide during their President's Day sale. And use promo code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply.
All right, hey, this is Act 2 of the podcast. We're getting right back into it. If you missed Act 1, go back and listen to that thing. Otherwise, this isn't going to make any sense. Okay, see ya. What the fuck is that? Maybe we should watch the trailer. The Scream Murder, a true teen horror story official trailer. Okay. If it starts with that sound there, that already frightens me. Killing a classmate to mimic the movie Scream.
So you're aware of a tape? Did you?
We were told that there was a videotape, yes.
It was 9:50, September 22nd, 2006.
The video will never make sense to me, and I will never understand where it came from.
There should be no law against killing people.
Friends don't kill friends.
Hello, Cassie. I'm getting you on tape, okay?
Just something that you cannot unsee.
The crime was committed in a house out in the middle of nowhere.
It's gonna be alone in a big, dark house. How perfect can you get?
There was blood spatter. She was stabbed to death.
And then we found the evidence that's gonna help us solve this crime.
Bloody clothing, knives, scary Halloween masks.
Thing we didn't expect to find was a videotape. Could this be video evidence of the homicide?
I'm sorry, Cassie's family. She's gonna die.
These two boys stabbed this girl 30 times and are videoing their
bleeding. I mean, we'll buy so fast.
Not really any warning signs. And if there were, I wish I would have seen them because I didn't.
Was just unimaginable. Obviously, I could never watch it again.
There was a list. They weren't done. They were seeking me out as well.
Somebody is outside my window. Who's watching me?
They were really into horror movies. They were trying to recreate Scream.
We're gonna be just like Scream. Kill them one by one.
You have a call from Idaho Maximum Security Institution.
Is there any topic that's off limits for you?
No.
Why Cassie?
There's no explanation, just misery.
This guy, RFK.
I just really want my own children. I always tell them to choose their friends wisely.
Okay, I've never heard of this. I didn't know that this happened. It looks amazing. It looks absolutely amazing. Cole had the same joke. That guy's voice is worse than RFK. Megan says, the guy saying, I'm sorry, Cassie's family, just made my stomach flip. Did this just come out? Okay, somebody has to give me their Hulu login because I, no. Okay, I just paid $1,005 6 weeks after I paid $950. And in between, I paid $6,700. I don't have Hulu. I don't watch enough TV to have any of this shit. Everybody's volunteering. I thank you. You're all fantastic. Wow. Yeah, this might be one that we have to watch and then, like, review. Didn't we do that for another show? Donut Dance is so messed up. And what is the date today? So it just came out. Everybody's going to watch it this weekend. And then we reconvene and discuss it. That's a great idea. There was some show we did this with. It wasn't the one where it was the chick, the girl was getting nasty text messages and it was her mom. What was that one called again? It was in Michigan. Unknown caller. Oh, fuck. God damn it. It was so fucked up. You know, the boyfriend goes to school at Hope, where Madison went to school. He's a terrific baseball player. I wonder if you know that was fucked up when at Hope and there and that one comes out. I wonder if he like told people there like, hey, this is about to happen. They better have paid that family a lot of money to make that documentary. Murder Lover Linda says that they went to Beale City that weekend. Well, of course you did. That's what you do. I wouldn't be surprised if you're found in front of this house where the Scream murder took place, nude, with stiff nips and a picture. Donko says, I work with a guy from that town, Beale City, and he knows all those people. Yeah, everybody knows everybody in Beale City. There was another one. I saw that one that you guys all watched before me called The Perfect Neighbor. Oh, my God. Fucking shit. God damn. People, I hate people. People are fucking maniacs. But their horrible behaviors make great documentaries. They really do. Stevie says, did you ever watch the Aunt Diane one? I haven't even thought of it since the last time we discussed it. Wasn't that the one we were supposed to watch and have a discussion about it? I think Linda picked it. It was one of my failed. You know how like I'll start shit and then it just stops? It was one of those. Which, you know, honestly, with the Scream murders, I take that back. It's too much work for me to actually sit down and do that show. So I think it's more fun if I just watch it and discuss it with you here. I cannot commit to actually doing a show with you. Now, I might change my mind after I watch it. If it's like, all right, I totally got to watch that. I totally have to do a show about it. But life is so goddamn cumbersome right now with all the different directions I'm going in. I commit to nothing anymore. So if there's any commitment to make, I'm going to check myself and then take it back. There's something wrong with Aunt Diane. I got to watch that. Earlier this week, I talked about a show that I watched, and then I forgot what I watched, but I have remembered it. And by the way, Linda says, we have to do it on Patreon so we don't spoil it for the masses. Okay. Megan says, the best one was the impromptu meeting after unknown caller. You enjoyed that. Well, maybe we will do it. I don't know. I watched, there's a episode on Netflix, a show about BTK and catching him and the daughter of BTK. Her name is Carrie Rawson. And there's not a lot of new ground, if you know about BTK, covered. But it's, you're kind of like right back there to when it all happened and how fucking much of a psychopath that guy is. He's still alive to this day, but his health is failing. But the daughter, it was really weird because there was kind of like a family policy to have, like, you can't talk about it. And so for years, this daughter who lives in Michigan kept this all bottled up. And then one day she's watching like the Today Show and Stephen King is on there. He's like, yeah, hey, Stephen, you got a new book coming out. What's it about? Or a new movie. What's it about? He goes, well, it was inspired by the BTK and BTK killer. And he talks about all this shit and it really pissed her off. So then she's since then started to talk and oh, this poor thing. Absolutely, desperately horrible. And she now, because there was an idea that perhaps BTK may have killed more than 10 people. She said in the documentary, she goes, my life now is talking about BTK. Like that's how I make my living, is by talking about BTK. And she's also helping the local cops and the federal authorities for other unsolved murders who they think BTK may have done. And she's providing insight. It's very interesting. I give it 7 out of 10. It's not the greatest, but it's not bad. It's worth your time. Stevie says there are tons of reaction videos to people finding out who did it for unknown caller. Yeah, those were great. I remember that. Man Bun Chris is here. He's here late. Welcome to you. All right. I think that type of documentary is so heinous. The Scream murder, a true teen horror story. It's sickening to think that people could be that horrific. Like, how is that even possible that people are like that in the first place? All right. Hello to a couple more sponsors. In this case, we have Irvine's Auto Repair, who are absolutely amazing. I appreciate them so much. If your car needs to be looked at, this is where I want you to take it, in the middle of Grand Rapids, Michigan. ervines.com. That's ervines.com. They fix all makes and models. They fix EVs. They fix hybrids. Not every shop can do those things. Like, if you take it to the local grease monkey, who, he's the only one working there. He's doing 7 things at once, including talking to you at the front desk. Ass crack showing, smells like BO and barf. Probably drunk. Hands are filthy. You're going to get what you pay for. For a truly fantastic, perfect, the first time experience, Irvine's Auto Repair, Grand Rapids Hybrid and EV. You can tell just when you call. First of all, a person's going to answer the phone. And when the Megan or Jamie or what's the other lady's name? Forget her name. When they pick up, they're just so, hello. Thank you for calling Irvine's Auto Repair, Grand Rapids Hybrid. how can I help you today? I mean, it's, you can just tell you're dealing with a better quality of people. And they have raccoons in the dumpster, which is awesome. Honestly, I've been sending a lot of, still sending videos to Megan. She sends them to me. We are critter's sister and brothers. And that is part of our day. Every day, we must send each other videos. Jen, Steve, and Eric. Eric is Dad. Steve is Steve. Jen is Jen. No raccoons lately, but I'm so ready for raccoon season. By the way, Linda says, there's a trial on Court TV now for Dale Warner in Lenawee County, Michigan, who killed his wife, Dee, and hid her body in a chemical storage tank on their farm. God. There's a Dateline episode on it, too. You are so true-crimed. Rebecca says, I've been sending baby animal videos to Megan, too. Oh, yeah. I am all in on that. That is, like, my favorite thing to do. Thank you as well to King's Room Barbershop. You can find them at kingsroom.net. Three locations in and around the area, including Caledonia, Northland Drive, and at 821 36th Street. I think I will finally get there today to get mine. King's Room Barbershop, three locations. You can find them online at kingsroom.net. $21 for a haircut, $18 if you're an active or retired military member. I don't know what type of credentials you need to prove that. But anyway, that is on the table for them at King's Room Barbershop. A local guy in across the hard living line in Newaygo County has been busted. And it's so hard these days to get away with anything because of the fact that, well, cameras are everywhere. But this guy in particular, in addition to being busted on camera, he went ahead and actually provided the authorities with some even more damning proof of what the hell he had done. People in and around the area of a community known as White Cloud, which is 100% hard living line, people would like mail things and then it would never reach its destination. Hey, did you get that check I sent you? No. Or maybe like order a book of checks. And then it would never show up in the mail. This one fucking moron, 25-year-old idiot, had been going around taking shit out of people's mailboxes. That's a big deal. 11 felony charges and 8 misdemeanors. So he would get the checks and then he would write them out to himself. Now listen, if I'm a thief and I get a hold of blank checks, the first thing I think of if I'm a bad guy is how can I get money? So I'm going to go to like a check cashing place. And I'm going to make it out to me. And that's the way I'll do it, I think. And I don't even know if that'll work. Because you still got to show ID. There's cameras everywhere. I don't know if there's a good way to do that if you actually get hold of the checks. I think it's kind of like a dead end. It's a non-starter. If you get a hold of the checks, unless you're depositing them into like an offshore account, I don't see, I'm not a criminal. Maybe some of you might have like a criminal, like I'm thinking about Nick in the arena. He might have some, I don't know why, but he just seems like the type of guy who might have some type of knowledge about this. I mean, he's always telling me about lighting shit on fire and collecting insurance money. So I think he might have some. For some reason, I think he might be talented enough to pull this off, but I am not. Red Bull Brain Chris says, show ID, that's racist. Nick says, I have trouble cashing a legitimate check. Black Belt Nick says, I would think you could go do something with the account and routing numbers on the checks. That happened to my mom about 15 years ago. Someone took the check she wrote out of her mailbox and washed the ink off and wrote it to Family Fair for $100. I've heard about that check washing. Two questions, two different people. Who uses checks anymore? It's not 1980. Who the hell still writes out a check for anything? Megan says, we don't even have checks. I just wrote a check. The guy who repaired the dishwasher. I said, how do you want me to pay you? He goes, check would be great. I paid him a check, wrote him a check. And then you forget about it. And then, you think you got a certain amount of dollars, and then all of a sudden it's considerably less because you remember you wrote that fucking check. I remember when I was early on, when Diane and I started living together, we were married. We had Jim. And this is probably... I'm 24 years old. I remember I never had the ability to balance my checkbook. And I remember there was one moment in particular I was so off that I thought on my ledger I had $1,000 in the bank, when in fact I was minus $1,000. And so the bank reaches out to me and they go, can you come in? And they actually had to come to Jesus, because this has been a regular thing. And they go, okay, so what are you doing? First of all, you need $1,000 to get to zero. Do you have $1,000? I go, well, yeah, I got $1,000 in the bank. They go, no, you're minus $1,000. You need to go get $1,000 to get to zero. And if you can do that, we'll waive all these fucking fees for the bounce checks. There's bounce checks all over the place from you. I go, I had no idea. He goes, we see this all the time, but get $1,000. I scrounge $1,000, come back to the bank. This is like 1995. I give him the fucking money. He goes, we need to discuss how to do this. And they sat me down and taught me how to do this, how to balance the checkbook. And I said, I had no idea. I had no idea that this is how you do that. And from that point forward, I had it down. I had the math down. You know, outstanding checks, you got to remove that from the balance. You got to do a little bit of math, and it's not the end of the world, but you got to do it. God, that was a bad feeling. I don't think anybody does that anymore. Maureen says she learned it in school. Yeah, that's a class I think should be mandatory. I think that there are some things, at least they weren't mandatory when I was growing up, that life skills, you know, that you 100% have to know about. Patrick says it's adding and subtracting. I feel like you're laughing at me when you say that comment. Clown of Carnage, Nick, Black Belt Nick, says Sean had to learn it in his ASD class, but Gen Ed doesn't have to. Piano Finger Banger says, how the hell do you wash off the ink? So you can, there are chemicals that exist that you can do that, you know, and you do it and then you dry the check and then you iron the check. You make it flat, pristine. Undamaged, and you can literally write a check off the wash check. Stevie says they don't even teach the kids how to read an analog clock. They're not going to teach them how to balance a checkbook. Piano Finger Banger says the thing I was thinking. This is some catch me if you can shit. Frank Abagnale, yes. Okay. How the hell did we get on this? Well, anyway, the idiot, he gets the checks and he goes, fuck yes. He makes it out to himself and then he opens up his bank app and deposits the check. He takes a picture of it and, oh, this is a $5,000 check. I just got $5,000. He deposits it in the fucking bank. He logged in and deposited the check with the app. What an asshole. That's a hard living lime crime. That's why it's so easy to find these fucking idiots. In mid-December, state troopers began investigating the reports of the stolen mail. Holiday gifts disappeared. New checkbooks, cards containing cash, and checks themselves had been stolen from their mailboxes. Complaints kept coming in. Stolen packages, check fraud, damaged mailboxes. The suspect's vehicle was also caught on home security cameras. Investigators tracked all this down, and they arrested the guy. There, they found 40 different pieces of stolen mail. He acted alone. He's now facing 11 felony charges and 8 misdemeanor charges, including check fraud, malicious destruction of property, and larceny. His name was not immediately released since he had not been arraigned as of Friday morning. Well, it'll come out. Nice job, asshole. When I used to get drunk, I used to, I actually did this exact thing. I was stumbling around through a neighborhood in Pasadena, California.
The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Support for this podcast is brought to you by Walden University. Ever catch yourself thinking, what if I could go after what I actually want and really make a difference? You're not alone, and that's exactly why I want to tell you about Walden University. For over 50 years, Walden has helped working adults like you get the W, with the knowledge and skills to build the future you want and make a difference where it matters most. If you've been waiting for the right moment, this is it. Head to waldenu.edu and take that first step. Walden University, set a course for change, certified to operate by Chev.
I had just graduated from high school. So this is the summer of 1988. And I go to hang out with my cousin it's at my aunt's house. And so all we did was fucking drink, and I left a party early, and I'm walking back to my aunt's house. This is my mom's sister, my Aunt Eleanor. And Thomas is still at this party. I'm walking home, and for some reason, I'm opening mailboxes and taking... Now, this is all like you leave it in there, and you put the flag up, and the mailman comes and gets it. I'm opening the mailboxes, taking the mail out, and then walking down the street to the next one, open it up. So then I do that a few times. And then I'm walking and I'm opening the mail. These people's mail as I'm walking down. Yes, I know, this is ridiculous. I'm so hammered, but I remember doing it. And then I literally would open the mail and take what's inside, look at it, and then just throw it over my shoulder. And it was several checks, like for rent or whatever the fuck. Bills. It's so stupid. I'm not even like using it to, it's just destroying shit for the sake of destroying shit. That's what, when you're that young, you just do, a young boy will do that. Young man will just destroy shit for the sake of destroying shit, even especially when drunk. Rebecca says, Eric out here admitting to felonies on the internet. Piano Finger Banger says, my God, you were a menace. This is 100% true. So if you were to look, and it's a hill, it's a hilly area. If you were to look by moonlight, you'd see all these scraps of paper all the way down the street from me opening everyone's mail and just throwing the shit on the ground. You know, back then, if you wanted to pay a credit card bill, you had to rip the thing off, write a check, and mail it. Now there's fucking envelopes with uncanceled stamps on them and the checks. I used to be such a kleptomaniac. If I went to a party, this is, okay, so that was going, that was my in between high school and college. College starts in late August, 1988. My friend, Tony, was, it was the time when you, people are rushing fraternities. And I had no intention of rushing a fraternity, but Tony wanted to be in a fraternity, so we would go to all these rush parties because they want you to go there and spend your fucking money to be part of their stupid fucking fraternity. So I would go to these fraternity houses and get shit-faced, and then I'd go to the bathroom, and I would open up the medicine cabinet, and then I would leave the party with everything that was in the medicine cabinet is now in my tie-dye jean jacket. And then I walk home. So, oh my God, see, we got a bottle of Obsession. Fucking cool. Oh, what's this? Prozac? Ah, fuck that. Jesus Christ. Ridiculous. If we were far away, like if we would go to a party off of the campus, Tony and I were leaving the party. We'd get transportation back to the house. And to get the transportation, we would just go on people's porches and take their bikes. So take the bike, drive it back onto campus, leave it on the side of the fucking dorm, and then it's there. If you need a bike, you got a bike. We stole dogs. I'm not kidding you. Now, I take it back. The dogs were wandering around, like people's dogs got out. And we ended up finding homes, like the homes for the dogs. But there was two occasions. One was a Malamute or a Husky, the ones that go, arr, arr, arr. You see them online, you make the fucking noise. So there was a Husky, and it was wandering around. So we got to find a fucking home for this fucking dog. We're drunk. We take the dog, and we bring it up to the second floor of Merrill Hall, and it's in our room. And the dog is hungry, so we gave him, like, Ritz crackers and chocolate and whatever the fuck else we could give him. And then he needed to go out, so we would tie an extension cord around his neck and take him outside. He goes to the bathroom. That's his leash. This is fucking great. We got a dog. Well, by the end of the weekend, the dog is now, he's doing that shit. And the RA, Dave Planson, knocks on the door. He's like, out. Get the dog out. What the fuck? And so we take the dog out, and it turns out there's like, it's a nice dog. There's like signs all over the campus for this fucking dog. And we go, holy shit. So we just took the dog back and gave it to the family. And they even tried to give us a reward. Like, nah, whatever. Maureen says, are you sure you didn't go to college in Flint? Extension cord for a leash, classic. And another time I was walking home from class, it was this little black cockapoo walking around. I scooped that bastard up, took it into the room, and then I said to Tony, I go, look, same thing. Let's take care of the dog. I had to go to another class immediately after, so drop off the dog, leave, and then there's a mother crying out in front of Married Housing at Central Michigan University. Linda knows what I'm talking about. And I go, are you looking for a dog? She goes, yeah. I go, I got it. I got the dog. And I said, I'm going to class right now, but I will give you the dog as soon as I get back. And I got her information, brought her the dog. Linda says, I don't think I ever saw a stray dog on campus in my 4 years at CMU. Well, the Husky was not on campus. It was in the neighborhood nearby. All right. Where was I going with this? Okay, that's it. I didn't have anything more on that. Maureen says there were no dogs because I was scooping them all up. Linda says the Married Housing apartments were slums. Everything there was slums. When I got to CMU in 1988, there was nothing new. I take it back. They made a recreation center. And I think they had an IT building that was new. That place is a shithole, okay? That was a shithole college. It might not be now, but it was then. It was a disaster. All right. Before we get to the asshole of the day, and I know I'm short today, but I'm kind of lean on content. It happens. Which is a perfect time to remind you that if you ever see a story that's interesting, send it to me. I may have already seen it, but you never know. So send it along, eric@ericzaneshow.com. That is the Shoreliners Striping inbox. If you have an asshole of the day, please send it along on the chat. I think that, because that's what Rebecca says, lean on content, we could listen to more Stalkerito. Stalkerito, with that song, it's a lot of it is song choice. Isn't that what they said on American Idol? Song choice? Alan says, did you see the one I sent you last night? Oh, yes. Thank you so much. Thank you for reminding me. I will feature that in the Patreon bonus podcast. It's Ohio State professor Luke Perez suspended after attacking a cameraman. Luke Perez is an assistant professor in the Solomon P. Chase Center for Civics, Culture, and Society. He was in Smith Laboratory hallway talking to two freelance reporters when he launched his alleged attack. I think, does this have something to do with Epstein? The Solomon P. Chase Center for Civics, Culture, and Society. I thought I've been seeing things about Ohio State and Epstein. And this educator snapped when a dude was shooting video of him. Alan says it's described as fuck around, find out. You might be asshole of the day for felonies and dog theft. Black Belt Nick says, the dick walking drunk and tearing up people's mail is the asshole of the day. Uh-oh. Thank you to Merchant Automotive. Might be one and done with Merchant Automotive. Their sponsorship is ending their 3 months. And I don't think they're going to renew. I was bummed about that. Nevertheless, if you have a Duramax, a diesel truck with a Duramax engine or an Allison transmission, and you ever need it to be repaired or maintained, at Merchant Automotive in Zeeland, Michigan. They will do that for you. Merchant-automotive.com is their website. Shop online for any of their kits that they have for any of your DIY projects on your vehicle. It's a great site. Hundreds of thousands of people follow them on Facebook and buy from all corners of the globe. Merchant-automotive.com. And finally today, Kuiper Tree Care, great local business in West Michigan, where if you bang on their door, hang on a second, Jim's calling me. Hello, I'm podcasting.
Oh, well, I forgot to call you back yesterday, so I was just calling you.
Was that yesterday I called you?
Yep.
Audience members wanted me to put you on the show.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, there was some questions.
Shoot.
I have, for quite some time, I have leaned into the story about when you made me get your solar system project. And various audience members want your side of the story.
It was stupid. I mean, in hindsight, but as a 18-year-old kid, 19 years old, I'm like, college isn't for me. Like, I'm not.
Well, listen, I don't want you to, you don't have to do this.
No, I'll do it because, I mean, I haven't really explained myself because it's so fucking dumb, but I was like, instead of saying, hey, I'm sorry, guys, college isn't for me, I just said, you know what, I'll pretend I'm going to college and, you know, I'll figure it out from there. So, like, I'm like, you know, when I get my fake degree, you know, it'll be okay. So it was like that, you know, I was like, yeah.
So now that you're 30 years old, it sounds really fucked up, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it was fucked up when I did it. And I was, I was a dumbass.
Did you, when I believed it, I mean, cause I bought it a hook, line and sinker. I was like, yeah, let's do this. Yeah. Let's do a great fucking project. Were you thinking, oh, God, I can't believe that worked. What a dumbass.
Yeah, and then I'm like, now I got to build a solar system now for nobody. So I mean.
Holy shit.
Now it's like, okay, it's like, I can't believe that worked, honestly. Like what college student needs to build a solar system?
We have never discussed this. Like, we have never. We've never really broken it down.
Yeah, just college wasn't for me, and I think like at that time.
Well, that's fine. I don't care about any of that.
I didn't think it was fine. That's how my brain worked. I'm like, oh man, if I don't go to college, I'm gonna be a transient.
You were scared. You didn't want to break the news to me that you didn't want to go to college.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I was scared. I was like, I just don't want to like upset them, or like what would they be upset if I didn't? But which you wouldn't.
You had to have been because you did all that fucking theater, and I would have just, I mean, who knows what I would have said? Maybe I would have gotten pissed. I don't know.
So I mean, that's where my mind was, which, you know, it's stupid. How many years later? 12 years later.
I don't hold anything against you, but it's magical. It's one of the greatest stories that's ever happened. You realize that? It's incredible.
Great. Really?
Oh my God!
So many others.
There's a lot. There are a lot, and I love all of them. I love all of them. There's not one that's bad, in my opinion.
Hey, I'm waiting for Grayson to pull a fast one on me. That'll be great.
Well, he has. I just haven't talked about it. I've kept all that very close to the vest.
All right.
I love you.
Yeah, I love you too.
Okay, I'll talk to you.
I'll talk to you later.
Say bye.
Bye.
He goes, all right. Oh, shit. Oh, my God. That was great. Whoever decided one of you suggested, I think it was Alan, who suggested that that I get Jim on. That was a great idea. While you got him on, how about the incident with the ashes? That's a great... Hey, Siri.
Mm-hmm?
Call Jim Zaitunian.
Calling Jim Zetunian, mobile.
Hello?
Hey, one more thing I forgot.
Yeah.
A real quick synopsis of where your brain was when it came to Grandma's ashes.
Oh, no, that's a good one, because I think about this all the time, because it's actually so funny, because, like, when I saw an urn, and people were like, our loved one's in there, like, you know, Grandma's in there, and in my head, I'm like, there is no goddamn way a whole person is in this thing. Like, I didn't realize that it was just, like, you know, some of the ashes at that age.
Yeah.
And in my head, I'm like, is it just, like a symbol? Like, is it just a symbolic thing? Like, is there actually nothing in here, and they just say that, like...
Yeah.
So, yeah, I cracked it open, and yeah, she was in there.
So you took the lid off, you could see the little bits of whatever.
Well, it's like vacuum sealed, so it cracked, the seal cracked, and then it would poof, and like... So I just cranked it shut again and said, I didn't touch it. And,
yeah, and the lid was... If you would have put the lid on straight, because it wasn't on good.
And really?
It was like... if you put a lid on, like if you have a mason jar and you put it on kind of and you thread it wrong, it wasn't, I don't know, it looked weird. When Mom noticed that, and you left little bits of Grandma was on the mantle.
I desecrated it, yeah.
You would have gotten away with it if the lid was on, not crooked, and you had cleaned up the mantle. You would have gotten away with it. There's no doubt in my mind.
Well, I freaked out. Oh, man.
So how much time passed between when you opened it and Mom found out?
Forever. I think it was a long time. I remember it was at our old house on Hearthway.
Yes.
I remember it was on the fireplace mantle by that brick wall.
Yeah, and I wasn't there when it all went down, but I guess she screamed your name.
Yep.
And you came running down, and that's when she broke the news to you.
Yep. It had to have been quite a long time before she realized it.
Oh my God, Jesus!
Yeah, that was. I think about that every once in a while. So I'm like, I can't believe. If I hadn't have opened that, I wouldn't have known like ever that there was actually ashes in there. I would have thought it was like a.
No, I think out of that happens. That happens. Curiosity, and that's what you said to Mom. You were honest with her. You go, curiosity got the best of me. All right.
I appreciate it. Curious about something else.
Yes.
Cracking urn open.
Yeah, we want you to be curious about making babies. You were probably already a father then. All right.
Close.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, I love you.
I love you too.
See you, bye.
See ya.
Jim has some of Grandma embedded in his lungs. Grandma had one last adventure, building a solar system in college like he's a kindergarten. Ask him what he hates more, going to college or using protection. Alan says he has to be on more. Jim's a star. A star has been born. David says this is a classic case of young people are dumb. Yeah, I mean, honestly, if you were to compare when I was 18 and when Jim was 18, Jim's making Dad get shit for the solar system project, which I believed, or me felony theft of U.S. mail from people's mailboxes, opening it and throwing it on the roadside in Pasadena, California. Which is worse? Which is more stupid? And I don't know if the idea that I'm going to just fake my way through college is ridiculous, but it appears like it was working for me because it took me forever to find that fucking shit out. All right. Anyway, a little bit more about Kuiper Tree Care. I never did finish that. Reach out to them, KuiperTreeCare.com, KUIPER, TreeCare.com. They'll take care of your trees that you want to get rid of. They will grind down the stumps, If you need tree trimming done, they can do that. Storm damage, they can clean that up for you. And tree risk assessment. The tribe has spoken, and the asshole of the day is going to be yours truly for something that I did almost 40 years ago, 37 years ago. Congratulations to me for felony theft of the U.S. mail. I'm pretty sure the statute of limitations would have expired on that one. Donut Dan says, did he ask you to help build the solar system? No, he just did it. And it was downstairs. I go, boy, look at this. This thing's awesome. There's fucking Jupiter. Oh, my God. He did a great job. What an asshole. All right. That's going to do it this time around. Oh my God. So amazing. I love it so much. Thank you, Mike. I can't wait till March 8th. March 8th, Bob's Barn YouTube channel, Pellerito Live. Warbling out some great tunes. You guys have a great Friday. I'm not for Valentine's Day. I'm going to tell you my plan coming up on the Patreon bonus pod. Take care. Have a good one. Next time, we'll do it again. Bye-bye.